This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date. Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Whoa! time for the wings to fly.
That's right. It's time. It's time to get off our duffs. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. This is Karen Hubbard. I'm your host. And I am here today with my co-host, Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And our brother, Sean, is with us today. How you doing, Sean?
Good morning. Great.
Morning. Good. Good to see you. And that song, that is... that came out of the Brownsville Revival, which is very near and dear to my heart, mm-hmm. as that was what the Lord used to draw me back to himself. And I just want to cry thinking about it, because he's saying it's time again.
Yes.
It's time for us to get with the program, get with what the Lord wants each and every one of us to do, and to get off the fence. He wants us to... get off the fence and just get hot. Don't be lukewarm anymore. Get in the fight. Get in and do the things that he's been calling you to do. You know, that song, it says there, it's time for the dead to rise. You know, those that have been spiritually dead, time to rise up. And it's time to get those wings to fly. And he's the one that gives you those wings. It's time for our hearts to burn. It's time for sacrifice. It's time to pay the price for our generation. You know, we're here now. God put us on the earth for this particular time, and I don't know the other word, not an era, but this time, this Kairos moment that we are in, each of us is here at this time. It's not... by mistake, you shouldn't have been born, you know, back in the 20s or, you know, 50 years from now. The Lord has you here right now because he's got a plan and a purpose. And he's calling each one of us. He's always calling us, but he's more so today to unify. We want to unify with the rest of the body of Christ and come against the things that are coming against the Lord, you know. He's the King of Glory. He's the God of angel armies. He's the Lord is in control. Everything is his. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. He created all of us, and he put all of us here. He had other people that lived in other times, but we're here today, and we need to have our eyes open to what he's doing. We see what's going on, and many people are in fear because of things that they're seeing coming about in the earth. But Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen. So the more that hell is breaking loose in the earth, the more we need to put our eyes upon him and focus upon him, because these things are going to happen. So these things, whatever they are, wars, rumors of wars, infighting, divisions, all of that stuff. All of those things are always going to be going on. But those of us in the body of Christ, when there's a not unification, but when the body unifies under the Lord Jesus Christ, then much can be done. And I have a burden for the nation, for the United States of America, because that's where I live. That's where we live. And if we unified in the body to come against the different things that are manifesting in our nation, then what can the Lord do? We see what's happening in New York. I mean, who ever thought that a communist would be elected to lead a major city in the United States? And the, you know, the threat is there, the looks of it, you know, by all appearances, yes, this is the guy that's going to be elected. But if the church rises up and stands up against everything that opposes God, we can push back those plans and purposes of the enemy. Or we can do nothing and just let things just overtake us. Even in our own spiritual life, if we do not stand against the enemy's attacks in our own life, then we will going to be consumed. We'll be consumed with the earthly. We'll be consumed with the fleshly nature. You know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not battling against people. We're battling against spirits. And the church needs to rise up in unity. If you're with people, if you have a church you go to, get people together and pray. Pray against the things that are coming against families. Because, you know, there's that whole movement to just destroy the family. And it's been happening, and it's been slowly trying to erode the family. And as these opposing forces keep inching their way in, which they've been doing for generations, socialism and communism and all the other things of that nature, the things that are opposed to God, if we do not stand up against it, then they'll win. But we know that the earth belongs to the Lord. And when we pray, we know that God hears and answers, because the Lord, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Mm-hmm. He knows his plans for America. He knows the people that love him, and he's listening to their prayers. He's answering their prayers. And so I just encourage you to get with people who, they're not living their life based on the daily news. They live in their life based on, God, what do you want me to do in this hour? If you're a person that can be out on the streets ministering, then go for it. If that's what you feel the Lord wants you to do, just go and just be that light shining in the darkness. Mm-hmm. If you're a homemaker, you know, you're teaching your children the mm-hmm. you know, everything that the Lord wants you to teach them, so that they can be assured of growing up in the Lord and understanding the difference between good and evil. If you work in a business and you're the only believer there, be that light. Be the light. There's people looking for hope. People are looking for that light. Mm-hmm. I was just telling Sean and Deanne yesterday, I had two different appointments, and both of these appointments were with non-believers, and both of them were talking about how bad things are. They don't even know, they don't trust in Jesus. They don't have any answers. And, you know, the Lord has said, just listen to them. Just be there and listen. And then he's going to let me know when to speak to them about him, or maybe he's going to open the door. But just be available to people, mm-hmm. and just hear what the Lord is saying to you, so that you can respond to him and step out there in faith. knowing that he's with you, knowing that he wants to use you. You know, I have a word here that Pam had sent yesterday. And part of what's in there is really the gist of what I'm saying. And so I'll read that in a second. So I don't know if you have anything you want to say, you guys.
I'll just quickly interject this before you read that awesome word. You were talking about it's time to lay our lives down, right? And to we've all been praying that and talking about that. We know Romans 12, right? Don't be conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we present our body a living sacrifice unto God, that we may prove his good and acceptable will. So talking about getting back to the word and doing the word, being a doer of the word, getting back to teaching our children the word, because we are in the conditioning room, because we're a wordless and godless society. He's been removed from everything. And like you said, this just hit me. We allowed that. Mm-hmm. We allowed these laws and these things to happen, for the Ten Commandments and prayer and singing, all to be ripped out of the classrooms, out of the education, out of the courts, out of the government. We allowed this to happen in our laws back in the 50s, 60s. Where was the church, right? So let me read this, and then I want to tell you a little funny story, and then you can read. So the Lord just hit my heart with awake. We must be awake. We are sleeping. We're the sleeping giant. I'm just going to quickly line little blurbs from these different scriptures that I looked up the word awake. Okay. He says, the Lord, when you awake, stir up yourself and awake to my vindication. Sorry, my phone's going cuckoo. He says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, I will awaken the dawn. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. I lie awake. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. Awake, why do you sleep? Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Awake, awake, Barak. Awake, my glory. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days. Awake, luke and harp. Awake, awake, put on your strength. The last one I wanted to read was Ephesians. We know the Lord says, I think I read that already. Awake, you who sleep, Ephesians 5:14, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We must awake. We must be awakened. And I believe that everything going on in the earth right now will awaken us, will awaken us who are in the Spirit, who are in Christ, who know God, who are born again, who know the Word. And it's time to awake. We cannot sleep. We cannot slumber any longer. We know our God never sleeps or slumbers, but the church has been sleeping. We have to be awakened. So my daughter is, she's teaching my grandchildren the Word of God every day. They do Bible and sing songs and everything. So my four-year-old granddaughter, she says, Corlin fills in the last word. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. So she said the last three words. So later, my grandkids, 4 and 5 years old, they're playing in the room, and she hears Corlin tell her brother, pick up your cross and follow Jesus, Canaan. So we're saying, pick up your cross and follow Jesus, body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Time to get to work. You know, because the harvest is at hand. And, you know, when you sow into the kingdom, you're going to reap from the kingdom. Amen. When you sow to the flesh, you're going to get fleshly rewards, mm-hmm. which is death and nothing. So, all right, let me read this word from Pam. So she said, I saw ping pong balls in a line according to their size. The line went from left to right, with each group of balls getting bigger as it moved to the right. It also changed in its ability to bounce. The smallest bounced only a few inches high, with the height increasing as it moved along. Then came the row of medium-sized balls. They bounced the best. At the end of the line, the balls were bigger and heavier, and they hardly bounced at all. It was too heavy, I guess. As I typed in this simple but very confused ignorance, I began to understand. And wow, what a surprising lesson. The balls that bounced the highest and moved around the most with the greatest of ease were the ones in the middle. The ones of the standard size, not too large, not too small, average ping pong balls. Then I suddenly understood what the Lord was trying to say. The little balls were too small to go too high. The large balls were too heavy to go too high. Then the lesson. The Lord compared it to the body of Christ. The small balls, being the newcomers, the newborns, sharing the gospel in the fruit of the Spirit. They poured out everything in them, but they were limited because of their young age. The large balls were a picture of the well-known preachers who carried a lot of the Spirit and did a wonderful work pouring out and teaching God's word. But it was the middle balls, the average size, that accomplished the most. They were the everyday members of the body of Christ, those who shared with their neighbors, the people at school and people at work, etc. They were the ones who shared the gospel and with everyday confidence. These are the people who actually build the individual members of the body. These are the ones who carry the secrets and confidences. They are everyday ministers of kindness, love, understanding, and biblical advice. They're also the ones who feel the most inadequate, yet they are the ones that the Lord counts on the most. They are the everyday apostles. They go from place to place, job to job, school to school, neighbor to neighbor. They do the listening, the caring, the praying, and the strengthening of individual members in the Lord's body. The big names, the speakers, the teachers, all work very hard to pour out God's wisdom, the paths to walk in, the prayers to pray, and they provide the means to growth. But it is the everyday ministers of these things through who take it in and then pour it out. Those who listen and care and love and pray for the individual members of the body. That's the ministry that builds and solidifies the truth that is both learned and experienced. These ping pong balls are the ones who are filled with energy and wisdom. They have learned to share it in the lightness of heart as they willingly and automatically bounce around their own environment, reaching and administering to so many in ever-deepening ways. These are the glue. These are the ministers, the very personal ministers. This is the heart of God, pumping and moving among his people, through his people, for his people. The individual ministers, they carry the secrets, the hurts, the needs of individual members, and these are the ones that actually build the body of Christ. Rejoice in the work God has given you to do, whatever it may be, but always, always put first the one who is right in front of you. Amen.
Amen.
I just thought that was just such a beautiful picture. And, you know, even my program, that when I was given the program, I had no idea what this program was going to be about. And the Lord said, it's pretty much the regular people, the church sitters, you know, not the people that have gone to seminary, not the people that are very public, but it's the regular people in the body of Christ, you know, doing the work. You know, those that went to seminary and those that are called to the fivefold ministry, they're there to equip us to do the work of the ministry. So if you're not called to be one of those apostles or prophets or evangelists, pastors or teachers, then you're here with the regular bulk of the majority of the body of Christ to do the work. in whatever the Lord has called you to do. So do it.
Anyway. Look at it like this. There really is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us to everything under the sun, there's a time, a season, and its purpose. And in these cyclonic cycles and seasons of supernatural outpourings, God's word carries divine intention. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 14, I want you to think of two things, God and the nations. And it says, verse 1 says, the Lord of heaven's armies has sworn an oath. It'll all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided. I have a plan for the whole earth, he says, a hand of judgment, good or bad, upon all the nations. And Psalm chapter 127 tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And if we're going to learn anything about prayer for the day that is at hand and the time and season for which we stand, then if we know anything about prayer, it must be infused with heaven's dominion for this great commissioning and this great time, because part of this new era that we're entering into comes with a warning. But I'll just let you go back to where you're at.
You can carry on.
Well, I had to pull over this morning on my way here because the whole world has changed. You know, change is always here today. Change is always here to stay. It's not change until it's changed. But the church has changed in its way. And, you know, in our prayer time, we must begin to think about real legacy. Not our name, not who we are, not what we have accomplished, but really comes with value. Legacy that comes with value through what we've received in Christ by impartation that lives on after us, but it's in Christ, causing us to be wise versions of Christ, not foolish virgins. And by impartation, I mean the life that we have received. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the life of God. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, John chapter 1, to them he came, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. So we can't be tied to the power of an old empire that causes manipulation or entitlement that still pours out of an empty cup. But if we're going to be poured out, we must become the real, starting with humility, honesty, connecting with people, focusing on helping others, with becoming emotionally aware. And this really is the future. This is the change that is here today, right now. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll just read it because it's the reminder when Peter says, now I encourage you as an elder and eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ and one who shares in the glory that is about to be unveiled, I urge my fellow elders amongst you to be compassionate shepherds, who tenderly care for God's flock and who feed them well, for you have the responsibility to guide, protect, and oversee. Consider it a joyous pleasure and not merely a religious duty. Lead from the heart under God's leadership, not as a way to gain finances, dishonesty, but as a way to eagerly and cheerfully serve. Don't be controlling tyrants, but lead others by your beautiful examples to the flock. When the Shepherd King appears, you will win the victor's crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, younger ones, you should willingly support the leadership of the elders in every relationship. Each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant, because God resists when you are proud, but multiplies grace and favor when you are humble.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Boy, that just goes right into what God gave me about pride. And I was going to read that scripture, and you beat me to it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And this was what God was putting in my heart the last couple of days. You had a word seen last Sunday in prayer about stay humble. Stay humble. We cannot get puffed up. We can't get independent. We can't start doing things that we think are the best way in our way. It's got to be total humility. But God was putting in my heart that there is no place for pride in the kingdom of God. We know Satan was proud and tried to rise up and conquer, but he was bound and he was cast down. And that's where God does resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride comes before the fall. And 1 John 2:16, the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the third thing, the pride of life, we know those do not come from the Father. There's no place for pride. There's no pride in God. There's only love. There's only goodness. There's only mercy and grace and compassion. And I'm sure you guys feel this too, that there's been such a compassion that's been rising up in my heart for all of the tragedies and the disasters and the things that people are going through, the losses of loved ones, children, the hurt, the pain. I mean, I'm just saying, God, thank you. I have a house. Thank you. I have a car. Thank you that I have food and water. I mean, these people that their houses got swept off the foundation and down 20 miles down the river. Can you imagine? I just can't even imagine. We need to just be still and take a moment, you know, that we cannot do life. We can't do anything in ourselves that has any lasting power or effect unless we rely, depend on, and include God at this time, in these times. We need him, and that's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to return. Karen, do you have something?
I think I have the break.
Okay.
Because I think when we come back, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer as well.
Yes, I just have a couple scriptures.
So we'll come back to that in just a minute.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay, we are back, and go ahead, Deanne, with you said you had a couple of scriptures.
Yes, the Lord was in tying in with that humility and surrendering to God and submitting to God and including God. I was always very independent. I didn't realize. And one of my pastors said, that's pride. I'm like, pride? Because I'm a strong, independent woman. I got divorced and I had to be a strong, independent woman because I was a single mom. I was the sole provider for my house, paying the bills. So I thought I was doing good because I was strong and independent and I was doing what I was supposed to do. But he said, no, independence is part of pride. When we do things independently and we're not looking to God, relying on God, including God. So returning to that place, Isaiah 55 and starting in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then in Zechariah chapter 1, and verse 3, Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. God is just saying, come back. Mm-hmm. Come back. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything else is going to work itself out. Everything else will be added unto you.
Amen. And, you know, something I was thinking about as you're saying that, that I don't know about you, but there's a lot of mental warfare going on. And I think it's affecting all of us. And if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be racking your brain trying to figure out what it is that's going on so that you can, you know, do whatever you think you need to do. And I've found that in those intense times when it's coming from without, it's not coming from within. So it's, you know, the enemy's putting pressure on. And there's a lot going on in the spiritual realm. So we're all feeling it, even though we, you know, it's like you can't really pinpoint what's going on. But that's the time, or I'll just say it the way that once I recognize it, I'd go and sit somewhere and I just put my hands up and I say to the Lord, I'm just not going to be thinking about these things, whatever it is that's coming. I'm going to submit myself to the Lord at this very moment because you know everything, but I don't know anything.
Yes.
So I've just made that a practice it's really taken a lot of years because I've dealt with a lot of spiritual, mental warfare, I guess as maybe many of us have. And the answers are not in our brains. The answer is not there. It's in our spirit man. So when the enemy comes in like that, we have no choice but to bow down before the Lord and seek his, what he wants to give us at that very moment. But it's only in that surrendering to him is there any peace.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to put that out there. But you know, when you said what were you called, when I worked before I got saved, when I was in the Navy, I worked for a Filipino. He came and he took over as my boss, and first thing he said to me was, you liberated American women. I mean, that's what he called me, liberated American woman.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, ooh. I'm not, I don't know about liberated, but I am American. But so there was this big contention with him about that, because he viewed me as being independent, you know, being headstrong and independent, which maybe I was at that time, and maybe I still have those tendencies. But that was before I was saved. But that's every time something happened, he'd say, "Oh, you liberated American women," you know, and would throw that at me, you know. But anyway, we ended up being friends with him and his wife.
Well, see, they see something in us that we don't see in ourselves.
Yes.
Isn't that the way?
But I wasn't saved then, so.
Right, but each person can't see. We can't see in ourselves what's the fault, what's the flaw.
Right.
But others can see that. And
blind spots.
Yes, exactly. But like, yeah, my mom and then my sister, myself and my younger sister, the four women, it's like I watched my mom and my dad struggle, and they got divorced, and my mom had to be that strong, independent woman. She was raising five kids, and my dad kind of disappeared, and she was paying the bills, working, and raising five kids. And then my elder sister got divorced and the same, and then I got divorced and the same, and my younger sister, it was like a generational curse. Mm-hmm. But then we all came to the Lord, and we all got set free from that independence. That, and the whole time that I, before my husband and I reconciled and remarried, God said, "I'm your husband." Mm-hmm. So I learned to look to God, and I learned to rely on God. Whatever I needed, I would just ask Him, "God, I need work done around my house. I need all this handiwork done. I don't have the money. I don't have any, money to pay people. I don't know what to do." And you know what? People would start calling me from the church. A couple different guys. "God told me to call you and see what you need done at the house. Tell me a day and I'll come over." Now, if that's not God, come on. God can do anything. God can do anything. But yeah, people see that it's not a good streak. It's a bad streak.
Right. Yeah. So let your independence, which I've had to learn over the years, because I just can say, well, I can do that. I can do that myself. Let me go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. But the Lord's like, go right ahead. So since I've gotten saved, it's that yielding. It's, it's a lifelong process to be able to continually yield to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I think the point I'm trying to make was what these pressures, Deanne, you're talking about the floods and all these different, things are intensifying. Mm-hmm. So if you can't handle right now, how are you going to handle down the road when it's, God knows what is going to come upon the nation, well, especially if we don't pray. Mm-hmm. But we've got to be prepared, and that preparation can only come through submitting to the Lord and bowing before Him and allowing Him to take the reins of your life. That's the only way we'll make it.
As the song says, "Jesus, take the wheel."
Yeah. Amen. The wheel or the reins or
yes,
whatever.
Yes. Take charge.
Through the intensity of it and through our humility, I think we're beginning to learn and recognize. And notice I said through humility that God really is invading and He's interrupting the course of human events. And I just want to read the rest of that from 1 Peter 5, because He says, if you bow low in God's awesome presence, He will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in His hands. Mm-hmm. Pour out all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there, for He always tenderly cares for you. That's what you just said when you release it, right, Karen?
Yes. Yes.
Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around insistently like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him. Resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith, for you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles you endure. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up, and he has all the power needed to do this forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But yeah, you're right. Yes. With laying all those things before him daily, or even as things come up, the things that try to pressure you every day, just keep laying it before the Lord. Just, you know, I had a one time I was praying and kind of had this vision that, you know, I'm standing at the foot of the cross and I'm going through whatever I was praying. And then I saw it was like a little square trap door. And the Lord was saying, just throw all your stuff in there. You know, dump everything in the trap door. And then the door closed. And then I'm just standing there at the cross with the Lord. And then he said, okay, we can continue on now. So wow. Just laying it down before, because we can't handle anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it, again, is that independent person like Deanne was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had to learn to lay it down.
Yes.
And it comes because it hurts, you know, when you're, you know, when the Holy Spirit is nudging you and you just keep resisting and you're not listening and you're not paying attention, it becomes very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when once you surrender, mm-hmm. then he's there to help you. And he's there to help us along. Yes. You know, I've experienced that in so many ways where when we have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. Like you said, when you prayed and people came to help you.
Yes.
The same day, just living our daily life. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me. Mm. I'm not going to try to do anything without your help. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to wait on you, you know, until, like, you know in your spirit when it's time to get up and move and do something. When you're settled in your heart, you're at peace in your heart, and then you can get up and do the things.
Mm-hmm. That's why it says Selah 71 mm-hmm. times in the book of Psalms. Selah, stop, ponder, and meditate upon this. Yes. Do not pass over the supernatural mm-hmm. of Almighty God.
Mm. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Such a deal with the Lord, mm. you know, that he gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in every way, shape, mm. and form.
It's amazing.
To do everything that we need to do, and it's...
Yeah, and we limit. We're so confined in our little carnal box. Mm-hmm. But literally, he does the supernatural. There are times when he brings people in the natural to help or provides in the natural. But I remember as a single mom for years and years, just praying those kind of outrageous, you know, crazy prayers. Like the car, I was running out of gas and kids are in the car and I forgot to get gas. And we're just praying, Lord, just keep the gas, you know, because the car was sputtering. It's like, get us. And you know what? He put enough gas and that power to get us to the gas station, you know, and then the air conditioning stops working in the house. And I didn't have the money for a new air conditioning. I just lay my hands on that air conditioner and say, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father, you touch this, cause it to function, cause it to work. And you know what? I got a few more years out of that thing. And before I did have to replace it, battery in my car went out. And I did not know what to do. I don't remember how I got that. Maybe I went to the store to get the battery. They said I needed a battery. Anyway, I put a battery in my car. I had no clue. I'm a dumb woman when it comes to automotive and mechanics. And I actually changed that battery. And it was just like, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm the vessel. You're just doing it through me. And you know what? I put the battery in the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, just... There's nothing that he can't do. Mm-hmm. Just let him take charge.
Amen.
You know, there are those that are listening, and they really need answers. They need solutions. And, you know, as the body of Christ is fitly joined, framed together, compacted about by a work of the Spirit, I just want to say that, you know, Scripture tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength for anything. And it's in the wait. You know, it's in the wait of God's glory when you're waiting on the Lord. You know, you're expecting him to do something for you. And as we've been talking about all these things for this particular period of time that we're in, there really is a supernatural outpouring that's taking place. So in between what you're hearing, it's a matter of just wait upon the Lord. Stand still to see how he's moving. Stand mm-hmm. still and really listen to what he's saying, because, yeah, there's a general word being spoken, but there is a specific word that God speaks at the appointed time for your life to bring you to the place that you could never bring yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
So we have a little bit of time to pray if you have something on your heart to lead out with.
Okay. Yeah, there were some things I was reading this morning about people in Texas saying, don't feel sorry for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're just walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, what faith. But they're saying, say what you will about Texas, but when the rivers rise, so do we. Not with blame, not with bitterness, but with boots on the ground, mm-hmm. arms around strangers and hearts wide open. That's the Texas I know, and that's the America I believe in. So, Father, we thank you that it is about reaching out, helping, touching, loving, embracing, pouring into others in need, Father God. Maybe it's not the victims or the families in Texas. Maybe it's our neighbor. Mm. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a single mom struggling. God, there's so many people, as Karen said with the two ladies she saw yesterday, there's so many people that are in doom and gloom and hopelessness. God, we ask you to show the way. We know that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. It's that is the mystery. The mystery of God is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our living hope. He is our bread of life. He is our redeemer, savior, rescuer, healer, deliverer. He is our peace, our Prince of Peace. He's our joy seated at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. He is our freedom. He is our way, the truth, the mm-hmm. life. It is Christ. And that's what we are to be, the light of the world, the witnesses to the ends of the earth. We mm-hmm. are to be the ambassadors for him, our King of glory. It's all about him. We have nothing in ourselves to offer. Even Paul and the others that were saw the man sitting at the gate beautiful, they said, silver and gold have we not, but what we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Mm-hmm. So we have that name, the name of Jesus. We have the power, the resurrection power of Christ. And that's what we are to give out, Father. Help us to be focused, kingdom-minded, focused on our Savior, and focused on the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that are supposed to happen when we speak the Word of God. They're to follow the Word of God. So bring us back to that place, Father God, of doing the Word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, making tremendous power available that's dynamic in its explosion to manifest the glory of God. But if you'll notice what it says after that in James chapter 5, it says Elijah was a human as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Manifestation is real. Prayer is real. The power of prayer is very dynamic. It's very explosive. And when we, the body of Christ, come together with a corporate anointing, there's an implosion within us. And that explosion is the manifestation of who God really is as he invades and as he, what does he do? He invades and he interrupts the course of history.
Hallelujah. Yes, and speaking of prayer, you know, I've just been sensing lately that the Lord wants us to focus more on prayer. Not talking about prayer, but actually praying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will say that last week when Deanne and I, when we were praying, you know, I got an email immediately after the program was over. And the lady was saying, thank you so much for praying. I was praying along with you.
Mm.
And she was really encouraged. She felt like her heart was being drawn closer to the Lord. And I had no less than 5 random people, you know, that have come into the station here, have all said, oh, I listened to your program yesterday. And it was amazing. Mm. And, you know, so I know that people are encouraged to hear praying. And, you know, we pray by the Spirit. We're not scripted. We don't really know how the Lord's going to lead it, just like our conversations.
Amen.
And so we, when he says to do it, we just do it. If he says to pray, we pray. If he said to, you know, talk about the scripture, we'll do that.
Amen.
But I do have a sense that prayer needs to be amped up in the church. And not that people aren't praying, but that a more concentrated focus on actually praying the things that we want to see.
Amen.
And it's not begging prayer. It's like, you know, God, that this is what you meant for the nation. This is what you want for the body of Christ. And just really declaring and decreeing yes. the things that God has already laid out.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to beg him to do anything. We need to begin to legislate in the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, where, you know, we have the authority. And if the Lord said, my word that goes out is not going to return to me void. When we pray in accordance with his word, when we speak his word, mm-hmm. that's legislating, and that he is going to make sure that his word comes to pass.
Amen.
And, you know, the devil is a liar, has always been and will always be, so we're not listening anymore. And what is that? And then the shift comes. Yeah, Amen. You know, God's going to do great and mighty things in the nation. When we pray, and, you know, sometimes you think, well, I think we're at a point in the nation, maybe in the world, in the time that we're in, you know, where God really has to step in and do something. You know, we can take things so far, mm-hmm. but without God's intervention, mm-hmm. you know, then it's, remember the my expression that the Lord told me a few years ago, here, hold my beer, you know, and that expression is, you know, somebody's tired of, is it, if it's a bar fight or something, you know, somebody needs to break it up. And in this case, the Lord is going to be the one to break up all the nonsense and the division and all the other things that are going on. Somebody stronger than ourselves needs to step in.
Amen.
And kind of put things back in order. And I feel like that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And we need to cooperate with the Lord in prayer and be in agreement with what he wants and forget about what the devil's doing.
Amen. Well, as you said, we have to remember, we have to believe who we are, the truth of who we are, and not the lies of who we're not.
Yes.
The Lord gave me that this morning. And we need to... There's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to believe that God said it, and that settles it, and it's truth. When we pray his word, you know, the word of God tells us to apply the blood of Jesus. So we speak the name of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus over us and our families, our properties. We declare Psalm 91 mm-hmm. out loud.
Amen.
And we take authority over any storm, any disaster, any lack, any trouble coming against us. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And we do have that dominion, the power, the authority, and we do it with the confidence of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in ourselves. We do it with the victory of Jesus. We do it with the confidence of the word of God. And
amen.
He does the rest.
Amen. So we're out of time for today. Seeing anything else?
Through faith, we understand that the time periods have always been readjusted, because when a people heard a word from God, they obeyed that word. God invaded, and God came and changed and moved mountains.
Amen. Okay, that's it for today, and thanks for joining us. And we'll be back again next week. And Annette should be back by then, hopefully.
Yay.
All right, bye-bye. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.